Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah.
So, we're going to worship God.
Oh, yes, we are.
And we're not going to do it in heaviness. We're going to do it in lightness. And I'm saying this mainly to me. I'm going to say it to me first because I've had some things going on. And you know what? It's not about me or those things. It's about the Father right now. And we're going to worship who He is and what He can do. And so what He said in His Word, He is the redeemed. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. So in Proverbs, Psalms 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Amen.
A new song. So we get so complacent in singing the song the same way. Let's sing it a new way. Hallelujah. His praise is in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with timbre and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He adores the humble with salvation. Let the godly exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be their throats.
Thank you, Lord.
And the two-edged sword in their hands, which is the word of God, hallelujah, Jesus, be execute vengeance on the nation and punishment on the people, to bind their kings and chains, and their nobles and their filtered of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is our for the godly ones to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father,
thank you, Father. Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, every hour is the hour to praise the Lord.
Amen.
You said In all things, give thanks. In all things, acknowledge you. In all things,
Lord,
lift you up. In all things,
Lord,
trust and believe that you are able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever imagine. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we begin to come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord to lift up praises unto you, Lord, we pray for a new thing. A new thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We will be partaking of the Lord's Supper now. Those who don't have elements, they're at the table right next to the sound booth. Our reading today will be from Acts chapter 2. Since we are celebrating Pentecost, we will take a reading from the first Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and upon my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Something incredible takes place on that first Pentecost. The initial picture is there's this tear between the boundaries that divide heaven from earth, and this heavenly, supernatural, non-earthly reality breaks through. It breaks through into our own human experience. The Lord is sending his spirit, and he is doing something different from what he has done with his disciples ever before. Now, keep in mind some of the things that the Lord had already done with the disciples before Pentecost. He had taught them. They had moved in signs and wonders. So the new work of the Spirit is not moving in signs and wonders, and it's not hearing necessarily teaching from the Lord. It's God doing something he's never done. It's the Lord doing something new. And so the first image we need to recognize that Scripture is speaking to us concerning Pentecost is God does something new when he pours out his Spirit. Now, he's doing something new because there's been a change in the cosmic structure of the universe. Jesus has ascended to heaven, which he hadn't ascended to heaven. He had descended from heaven in the incarnation to be with his people. Previous to this, he has ascended to heaven and he has been established as king. So when we look at Pentecost, we look at God doing something new, God doing something different, God taking his people a place where they've never been, or to quote Pastor Bird, bringing us to a new level. The Lord's doing these things. He's doing these things on Pentecost with the church. Second thing that is new is he is doing it as he imparts the spirit of his newly established kingship. The lordship of Jesus is manifested in this outpouring of the Spirit. The third thing that we see is new, immediately the gospel is preached in the language of all the various people who had arrived to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is one of the three feasts per year where those from all the nations where the Jews had been scattered. Keep in mind, up until the time of the exile in Babylon, this is important for those of you who are coming to the Wednesday night class. Up until the time of the exile of Babylon, the Jews were located in one place in the world. They were located in the 10 northern tribes of Israel, the 2 southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. They had been scattered. Remember, we said that when Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome began to emerge as powerful world entities, powerful political entities, powerful empires, the world changed. Okay? The world has undergone certain changes historically, and the Bible relates those changes. The changes are changes in the heavenly places. When things change in the heavens, they change on the earth. They can't change on the earth unless they change in the heavens. There has never been a time in human history before Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome where the Lord conveyed power unto nations to rule globally, to rule geographically, beyond the boundaries of their own native lands. The world had changed. It was no longer, the world was, God's kingdom was no longer centered in Israel. It was now spreading to the world. And what was the witness of that is that as these nations spread across the globe, the Jewish people spread across the globe with them. So by the time we get to Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, there are Jews in all these nations of the earth, and they all gather together on Pentecost, 3 times a year, Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this particular feast, as it was being celebrated by the Jewish nation, it commemorated the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. When God's people came out of Egypt, came out of the Egyptian bondage, were set free to return to their land, the Lord descended on Mount Sinai. After they'd come out of Egypt, the Lord manifested himself in Egypt first, and then he descended on Mount Sinai, and there he gave them the law. He made a covenant with them. So they're coming up to Jerusalem to celebrate the covenant. Well, Jesus is having something to say about that. He's saying, I've made a new covenant with my people. But this new covenant, and this is a major difference at Pentecost. The new covenant is now going to be with all the peoples of the earth, not simply Israel. Here's something else. The brothers and sisters who followed Jesus had never experienced. In the Gospels, they ministered to Jews only. Jews within their native lands. Jesus foreshadowed what he was going to do because he would minister to Gentiles, non-Jews, and they'd always be freaked out when he would minister to non-Jews. But now he's called them to minister to the whole earth. And so something changes here. And see, when things change on the earth, they have to change in heaven first. The structure of heaven has changed, and it says we are no longer in a world dominated by religion, by the Hebrew religion. We are no longer in a world dominated by political entities. Sorry, let's make America great. Espousers, do you understand nations dominating the world and being the saviors of the world and being the source of God's kingdom ended like almost 2,000 years ago? Do you understand that? You talk about an old wineskin. That's an old wineskin, brethren. It does not contain the new wine. It cannot contain the new wine. The new wine is now, the gospel is declared in the language of everyone who is there. And it's very clear. There are those there who are from Israel. There are those present who are from Europe. There are those present there who are from Asia. There are those present there who are from Africa. And there are actually those present. See, the edge of the Roman Empire, at that time was the largest global entity in human history. It stretched from Ireland all the way down through northern Africa, across Europe, and into Asia. It was huge. It was gigantic. And in a Roman mind, and in the mind of the Jews who lived at that time, Jesus' disciples, where the Roman Empire stopped, beyond that, there it's like it's barbarians. Remember, Paul talked about Jews, Greeks, and barbarians. That was just a cultural terminology for people who lived outside of the Roman Empire. And there are people here that day that are outside the Roman Empire. So you have a European voice hearing the gospel, an African voice hearing the gospel, an Asian voice hearing the gospel, and then representing all the other voices in the world, an indigenous person voice. This is powerful stuff. This is incredible stuff. The Lord is rearranging from heaven the way the earth is going to work from here on in. So when the Holy Spirit comes, the Lord does a new thing. And of course, there's another group there, the mockers. That's a fifth group, okay, or a sixth group, if we're counting Israel as one of the groups. Mockers, that's another group. That's the one that always, you guys are all crazy. You're nuts, you're lunatics, you're drunk. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to raise up mockers. But Peter says, okay, everybody, we still use God's word to interpret what's happening. And he says, this is what's happening. And he quotes the book of Joel. And notice what he says. He says, this explains what's happening now. It shall come to pass in the last days. You know, we're not waiting for the last days to begin, guys. You understand the last days began, right here in 30 AD at Pentecost. We've been in the last days. The last days of what? Of doing things in the world the way the world does things. Of totalizing voices saying, listen to us, we speak for God. The Lord says, no more. Here's who you listen to, the ones who are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the voice. But what's interesting about that voice is it's a voice that affirms everybody else's voice. This is a picture of what took place in Genesis 11. Do you remember what happened in Genesis 11? The post-flood world, everybody spoke one language, all right? Everybody spoke one language. The Lord looks down and says, let's see. Is everybody speaking one language a good thing or a bad thing? If the whole earth speaks one language, good thing or bad thing? Lord says, bad thing. Because it was one voice, and that one voice goes to people's heads. And when there's one voice and one voice alone that speaks, that's a totalizing factor. You begin to see yourself as the only voice, the only truth, the only way, the only life. And see, that's a biblical definition of idolatry. There are people sitting here today. If I were to count up all the number of people sitting here today, let's say there's 35 people sitting here today, I'd say 35 of you are idolaters. You do exactly the same thing. You listen to your own voice. The voice in your head totalizing reality, saying, only what I see, only what I hear, only what I experience, that's true. That's idolatry. Okay? The Lord broke idolatry in Genesis 11 by making every nation speak in its own language. You know what he's saying? He's saying, what's the right language to speak in every language? Not one language, every language. And so what is the Lord doing in Acts chapter 2? He's just reinforcing what he already started in Genesis 11. He's saying they'll all hear the gospel in their own tongue. In other words, the new thing the Holy Spirit does is he affirms diversity. He affirms the beauty that everybody brings as each one brings their offering to the temple. As each of us comes to Jesus, we bring what we are as men or as women, as Asian or as Latino, or as white or black, or as men or as women, as young, as old, as Democrats or Republicans, as Calvinists or Armenians. We all bring the gift that God has given us, and we lay it at Jesus' feet, and the Lord looks and says, now this is my kingdom. This is the work of my Spirit. When this happens, no totalitarian, no totalizing voices that say, this is the only voice that speaks. That's idolatry. There's only one being in the universe that can say, this is the only voice that speaks. Our Father in heaven. Amen. His voice. Yeah. But that's the beauty of his voice. It isn't a totalitarian voice. He's not a dictator. He is a God of grace. He is a God of love, and he says, all of you come to my table. See, this is the mark of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, hey, in our church, we speak in tongues, and if you don't speak in tongues, well, you're not of God. No. I don't care whether you believe in speaking in tongues or not. If you speak in tongues, amen, speak in tongues. Paul says, I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues more than the rest of you. So don't tell me what it means to speak in tongues. But a totalizing voice that says, all of you have to do thus and so. All of you have to look this way or that way. All of you have to vote this way or that way. All of you have to have this theology of salvation versus that theology of salvation. Again, Scripture is very simple. But here's the theology of salvation. Jesus died for our sins. Receive his gift in faith. And then if you want to walk away from there, being an Armenian or a Calvinist or once saved, always saved, or you can lose your salvation every day, the Lord's like, who cares? You follow your conscience, but do not totalize with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You must be like me. That's Genesis 11. That's idolatry. The Holy Spirit comes and does these incredible, incredible things. And by the way, he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He also detotalizes another aspect. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So it's male and female. So he just opened up the Spirit to male and female, not just old men. He opens up the Spirit. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. He opens it up to young men and old men. My servants. Masculine and feminine servants. Servants, you know, see, we're moving to the bottom of the totem pole in first century society. The Lord says, my Spirit is the great equalizer. Kings, prophets, priests, apostles, pastors, yep, the Spirit will speak through them. But the Spirit will speak through the servants too. The Spirit will speak through everybody. You see what the Holy Spirit is doing on Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit, and Peter is saying, this is all taking place today. I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. That took place on Pentecost. Have there been any reports that the sun literally went dark, or that blood actually happen on the moon? No, because that's prophetic language that says it means God is changing things in the heavenly places. It's a cosmic disruption. It's a cosmic transformation so that things can change place on the earth. And then he says, all this is going to happen before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. The Lord came on Pentecost. He continues to come in our midst powerfully and mightily. And the net result, the net effect of all of this, in other words, what is all this pointing toward? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when we stand up today and we sing and we pray and we cry out to the Lord and we invoke the triune God to send the Spirit in our midst, what does it mean for us today? It means God will do something different. The something different he does with us might be different from what he did on the day of Pentecost. I mean, they didn't need authority to move in signs and wonders. They already had it. They were walking it. That was something they already possessed. But maybe for us, we need the authority to walk in signs and wonders because we don't possess that. And maybe what the Holy Spirit does when he comes will be different from anything that had been done and was done that day on that Pentecost. So we are always, when we're crying out for the Lord to send his Spirit, we are always saying, Lord, do something in our midst that you have never done. One of the things that I think was done on Pentecost that is still something different for all of us today is this idea of this great equalizer. We live in so many totalitarian spheres, and basically the totalitarian spheres is the way I do it, that's the way everybody else should do it. Do you understand when you're saying the way I do it, that's the way everybody else should do it? You know what you're saying? I'm God. What I experience, what I see, what I value, that's what everybody else should do. And we have an America and an American church doing that. You know why it's such a great sin in America? Because we think we're the greatest nation that ever lived on the face of the earth. Instead of just seeing ourselves as just another nation, and we bring some things to the table. We are not the greatest nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. Peter said later in his epistle, he said, you, to the church, are a holy nation. The greatest nation that ever lived on the face of the earth. Spoiler alert, it's the church.
Amen.
And that church is made up of people from every nation on the face of the earth, just like in Acts. And we need to break free from the heresy of being America. We still think it's America's job to save the world. If as a Christian, if somebody came in this room or came up to you and said, we need somebody to be the greatest savior that ever lived on the face of the earth. We need somebody. We're in trouble. We need somebody. You'd look at them and say, are you out of your mind? We already have that person, Jesus. Well, why do we accept then we need America to be this great nation to save the world? That's as big of a heresy as saying we need somebody other than Jesus to save the world. America will not and cannot save the world. Those days are over. We still live in our nation. We appreciate our nation. Where it's not only Pentecost, it's Memorial Day weekend. We celebrate those who have given sacrifices to keep Americans free. We're not saying that. We're saying let it be what it is. We commemorate actions that this nation did that were right and good and consistent with justice, consistent with freedom. But that doesn't make America the savior. And see, it's because that mindset has been programmed in us since birth and programmed in our forefathers and mothers before we were born. We come into this world breathing. Well, the way we do it is the greatest way, is the best way. And it doesn't matter. And if you don't respect America, you still might say, well, the way we've resisted America is the greatest and best way. But that's the point of Pentecost, is it's the Holy Spirit coming in our midst that is the greatest and best and most powerful way. And that's a spirit that comes from King Jesus, who is ruling the universe. And when King Jesus rules the universe, he says, oh, no, 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 the best way is the way all of you, with all of your diversity, with all of your giftings, with all of your different perspectives, have been molded by the Holy Spirit to bring your gifts to the altar and use what God has given you as you are, who you are. And he's used that and will use that to further his gospel. This is the meaning of Pentecost. So we're going to partake of our Passover meal on Pentecost. Lord, we thank you for your body, which was broken for us, the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost was only able to occur because your body was broken for us and your blood was shed for us. And so we partake of the broken body that you might strengthen us. We partake of the poured out blood that we are washed by you, even when we've erred and we've sinned and we've failed. Your blood cleanses us, Lord. And because of your body and blood, the Spirit can be poured out in our midst, Lord. So, Lord, even as we partake, I ask, Holy Spirit, come now in our midst in a powerful way and affirm your people and empower your people and heal your people and grace your people and deliver your people and strengthen your people to love you, to love each other, even beyond that, Lord, to love our enemies as ourselves, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we partake.
Ah, wow, praise God. Praise God. Wow. This is a blessing. Yes. It's a privilege. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And I'm hearing the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. There's a storm out over in glory. And it's moving this away. If your soul not anchor in Jesus, you will surely drift away. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, you're gonna surely drift away. Drift away, Lord, drift away. You're gonna surely drift away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, you're gonna surely drift away. Sing that with me. Oh, your storm out over in glory, and it's moving this away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, you're gonna surely drift away. Oh, the storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this away. If your soul not anchored in Jesus, you're gonna surely drift away. Woo. Glory, 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 glory to God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Good morning to our senior pastors, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jan, his wife. Thank you for this opportunity. And I don't take it lightly. A week ago Thursday, while I was debating to get on the prayer line, fluctuating with my mind, the Holy Spirit said, just as clear, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. The doctrine is sound. He's able to move me into his purpose. And since I've been here, since August of last year, I have been received with open arms. I have been received with open arms. Every last one, you have received me with open arms. And when I was stricken with COVID, I got prayers, I got phone calls, I got texts. My pastor didn't let up. He did not let up until I got a letter from the doctor saying, I am okay. He is acceptable, accessible, and reachable at all times. At all times. We are blessed. We are blessed to have this type of pastor and his wife. We are blessed. To the extended pastors and the body of believers, I greet you today in the name of Jesus Christ. To my family that's here with me today, to my family, ooh, my oldest daughter, when I mention a name, you're going to know who I'm talking about, Tiana. She's on our prayer list. Son is on the prayer list. Her grandson is on the prayer list. This is my eldest daughter. She's a missionary. She might not want to be called one, but she is. She's a lover of books. She got books in crates. She smell books. She eat books. She read books. She give out books. She go to book reviews. She buy $200 to $300 worth of books at one time. She's a lover of books. Pastor said, his kind of person. When she comes down to my city, we got those portable libraries. What you call them, T? The little free libraries. We have them on the street on different blocks. She comes down from Canton and fill them up. I tell you, she is such a pride of my a joy of my pride, whatever, right? Whatever I need, I can call her. I don't care what, how much amount it is. Now, when her father passed, this is how I begin to do my first home going. Her father passed on my birthday, okay? Which is cool. We don't know on what day, right? So we're at the hospital and we're in the room where his remains are. So we're talking and she turns to me and she says, Ma, I want you to do his funeral. What? I've never done a funeral. I've never done a homegoing in life. So I said, okay, are you sure? She said, yeah. So on the way, I was passing his remains and I said, T, do you want me to raise him up? She said, no, Ma. He don't want to come back. So I said, okay. Whew. Anywho, let me proceed on. Then my son, Antonio, he is a prophet, Antonio Summers, and he's my son in the Lord. And how we met was he knew my son, who's now in glory, and Antonio would come by my house every morning before going to school, come pick up Thomas. And before he would leap out the door, we would hold hands and have prayer. That's how I became to know Antonio. He just moved back from attending Rhema Bible College. And he lives in this area. So it should not be no excuse. To come by Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship. He doesn't have a home yet, so just maybe. Put that on your prayer list. I have two sisters. My second oldest sister's here in the audience, and that's Sister Gloria Washington. She's way in the back because she got a mask on, so you can recognize her. I just texted her on yesterday. I said, I'm speaking on Sunday tomorrow. I said, can you come? I said, I know it's late, but can you come? And if you can, I understand. She texted me back and said, all is well. I'll be there. My youngest sister, she lives in Saginaw, Sister Ava Weston. Her husband is an elder. She is watching her big sister by Facebook. Amen. Moving right along. Let's see. Take my time. Who told me to take my time? How much time I got, Pastor? One more thing about my sister over there now. She can cook. If you ever want some zucchini bread that melts in your mouth, she's the one. Oh, somebody did this here. She will be the one because she makes me homemade from scratch zucchini bread. And it's so good I can eat it all up in one day. Whew, what a mighty God we serve. Our gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Redeemer, the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. Thank you for this day, for this opportunity, for this body of believers in Christ, for these your people, for these saints. Thank you. Thank you for those who are watching at home by Facebook. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. For I'm only your vessel. I'm only your representative. I'm only your hands extended. I'm only your mouthpiece. I am your servant. Have your way. Bless every person that's here, Lord. Meet every need. Heal, Lord, every sickness and every disease. Men, broken hearts. Lord, in the name of Jesus, strengthen relationships, strengthen marriages in the name of Jesus. Meet us where we are. In the name of Jesus, for you are the Father of mercy and the Father of grace and the Father of truth. Lord God, we stand in awe of you. We trust you. We love you. We depend on you. You are the keeper of our souls. We can do nothing in and of ourselves. But all that we do by the grace of God. Bless the word. Bless the message. I ask, God, that you would anoint every ear, that they would be open and in tune to what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, have your way in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a sanctified soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I got my war clothes on. I'm in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on. In the army, I'm a soldier. In the army of the Lord, I'm a soldier. In the army, I'm a soldier. In the army of the Lord, I'm a soldier. In the army. Got my war clothes on. I'm in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Now, you might be in civilian clothes, but you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. I see Pastor Berg came up here. I looked at his attire. I said, wow, he got on his army clothes. I didn't know. But we're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Yes. Now, if you're weak, if you got jelly backs, you ain't going to be able to stand. Not going to be able to stand in the battle for Christ. You got to gird up loins. Yeah. Amen. And because we are in God's army, we must put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 reads as follows. And I'm in an English New Testament English translation. We fight against evil. Finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on all the armor that God gives. You can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. We can't take off not one piece because then we open up the door for the enemy to attack. We are fighting against foes and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So put on all the armor that God gives. Then when that evil day comes, you'll be able to defend yourselves. And when the battle is over, you will be standing firm in the Lord. Be ready. Let the truth be like a belt around your waist. And let God's justice protect you like armor. Your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let God's saving power be like a helmet, and for a sword, use God's message that comes from the Spirit. Never stop praying, especially for others. That is the word of the Lord. We are on a spiritual journey. A spiritual journey. And we must be suited up and ready at all times. Now, when we started out on this spiritual journey, we knew, refreshed, new babes in Christ, new creation. We started from point A. Before we can get to Z, which is the last letter of the alphabet, which is the point of resurrection, the point of getting out of here. We are in the middle. And in this middle, we have trials, tribulation, heartaches, disappointments. We have death. Amen? We have brokenness. We're wounded. All in the middle. There's a lot we got to go through. We have our ups. We have our downs. Amen? We have our friends. We have our marriages. We have our divorces. All this is in the middle. All this in the middle. But now how are you going to get through all of this to get to the resurrection point? How are you going to get through it? What do we need to get through all of it? How are you going to get through it? Do you know how? Linda, say that loud. We need Jesus. That's how we get through all the humps and the bumps and the lumps. We need Jesus. Amen. When my son Dwayne, his name is Dwayne too. Sorry about that. When he came home from the Marine, he's a Marine. I made a bad mistake. When he came home, I said, "Oh, now you are an ex-Marine." And he politely said, "I am always a Marine. There's no ex about me. If they call me today, I have to go because I am always a Marine." And once you name the name of Christ, you're always a child of God. Always remember that. Put that in your spirit. When the enemy come, tell him you are a child of God. Glory to God today. So, we must be ready. We must be ready for whatever battle comes our way. We must be trained. You ever seen a Marine or a person in the Army or a Navy SEAL or an Air Force person or a person in the Navy? Have you ever seen them go into battle and not be trained? No, because they ain't going to make it. They're not going to make it. So just like the armed force, the National Guard and all the other military people, if they're not trained, they're not going to make it. We as the body of Christ, we as the believers, must be trained. Must be discipled. Must be disciplined. And know what weapons to use. Now, what if Dwayne went, well, he did go to Desert Storm, but what if he go to Desert Storm and he take a BB gun? A BB gun and a bow and arrow. Woo. I'm sorry to tell you, but I don't know if he's going to make it back. So he has to have the proper weapons, okay? The right guns, the right artillery, the right tanks, the right bombs, the right grenades. He has to have on the right boots. Let him go out there in some gym shoes. I'm telling you. Am I right, Dwayne? Amen. I've never been in the service, but when I walked in the door, Pastor Cynthia said, are you in the army or have you been in the army? No. I went and brought all this stuff to make a point. Amen. So we must know our weapons to use to keep the enemy at bay or disarmed. He's defeated. He was defeated at the cross. He's under our feet. I heard Pastor Jan say last week that in her class, it was the little bitty, bitty, bitty boy, maybe knee high. Then another boy was probably way up here. And this little, little, bitty, bitty, bitty boy attacked this boy way up here. And Jan said, you let this little, bitty, bitty boy who's at your ankle and you up here hurt your feelings or kick you, whatever he did. What did he do, Pastor Jan? He did something. What did he do? Oh, he said the big boy was a bully or the little boy was a bully? Oh, he said the little boy had a bully. I could step on his head. Amen. So anyway, I lost my train of thought. Oh, the enemy is that little bitty bitty boy. That's what I'm trying to say. Bully. Yeah, he's a bully. The enemy is a bully. He's a bully. And you can step on his head. I mean, step. I mean, do you know how to stomp? Stomp on his head. Y'all know how to stomp? Well, praise God. You want to stomp now? No. Okay. So anyway, we must fight the good fight of faith until the very, very end. My subject for today is, and I'm going to have you all get involved, but my subject for today is, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. The word must denotes action. You see, I can't sit on a chair and do nothing and be about my Father's business. Must denotes immediate attention. I need to take care of this now. Not tomorrow. Not next year. Not next week. Immediate attention. Now is the time. It's an imperative call. Vital. Necessary. It is non-negotiable. We will not compromise. We will not compromise. No matter how rough it gets, no matter if all of my lights was off, no matter if my water bill was off, and I didn't have a job, my standard of faith and practice is in God. He said he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I don't have to succumb to nothing out of the will of God. I must be about my Father's business. Can you all say with me today, because I want this to resonate in your spirit, I must be about my Father's business. Well, what is the Father's business? I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked. Now, from a practical standpoint, because God is concerned about our whole man, our whole body. He is spirit, yes, but he's concerned about me from head to toe. He's concerned about my needs. He's concerned about my lack. He's concerned about my brokenness. He's concerned where I'm wounded. He's concerned about my natural life. Amen. He's concerned about my children, my grands and my great grands. He's concerned about all of that because God created us as a tribe being, for we are spirit, soul, this house in a body. So if he made all of that, why wouldn't he be concerned about every aspect, every detail of our lives? Why on Sunday we come to church, but from Monday to Saturday we're worshiping idol gods? Amen. I heard Teresa said Sunday, we be talking about, I'm glad when Friday get here. I'm glad when Friday get here. But Teresa said, we have a Sunday coming. And we should look forward to Sunday coming. I heard my first lady say, we should not let anything keep us from coming to fellowship. If there's something she has to do on Sunday, her children know, don't bother me between this hour to that hour because I'm in the body of Christ fellowshipping with my Christian family. Amen. Oh, let me get back to my thought. What is the business of the Father? He wants us, if you're young and have a child or have children, it doesn't matter where you're married or whether it's out of wedlock, it doesn't matter because God loves children. Amen. Every last one of them. He wants us, this is practical, he wants us to nurture our children, train our children, love our children, train them up in the admonition of the Lord, pray with our children, have Bible class in your home with your children. Amen. Because you're getting them prepared. You're getting them to know Christ. Because this is a personal thing. That's on a practical sense. But God wants us to be devoted to one another. Give preference to to one another. He wants us to be of the same mind toward one another. He wants us to pursue the things that build up one another. He wants us to accept one another, care for one another, serve one another, comfort one another, encourage one another. I must be about my Father's business. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Amen. This whole Bible, now this is just half, but the whole Bible, this is his business. This is his business. From Genesis to Revelation, this is God's business. So if we're going to be about the Father's business, we got to get in his word. We got to know him personally and intimately. You can't know somebody if you don't spend time with them. Amen? You only know me by what you see, but you don't know me on the inside because you don't spend time with me. I don't know you because I don't spend time with you. This is God's business. And if we are his children, then we must read the word of God. And his business is to ensure all gets eternal life. John 3:16-17. Come here, John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. I must decrease, and he must increase. I must put him first. Too many of us on our list, Jesus is at the bottom of the totem pole. We must decrease. We must become less important and allow Jesus to be the one on the throne. Amen. In the body of Christ, there's too much competition. In the body of Christ, there's too much one rule and reign. Too much self-centeredness. Too much controlling, manipulation. In the body of Christ. Too much trying to make a name for yourself. And the only name we should be lifted up is Jesus Christ. Too much glamorizing. You think you're going to a fashion show in some of these churches. Look, I wasn't back there in the biblical days, but when I see these movies, I don't see nobody glamorized nowhere. They got on normal everyday clothes, wearing sandals, wearing hats around the head. But nobody's trying to outdress one another. God is not pleased. In fact, it's a stench in his nostril. People can't even come to Christ because if you put a saint of God next to an unsaved person, and you say, pick out the Christian, you won't know the difference. You won't know the difference because the unsaved person got the cleavage out. You expect that. They got slits up the legs. You expect that. They got eyelashes that go across the street. You expect that. Now you come over here to child of God. You don't know she won, but because she too got a cleavage out, splits up the legs, lashes across the block. You don't know who's saved and unsaved. The Lord instructs us to dress moderately. Amen. Amen. So, John got word, or the disciples got word, that Jesus was baptizing more than John. John said, look here. I'm a forerunner. I came here to present Jesus. So therefore, I need to get out the way. I need to get out the way. I came to prepare the way. And so I did what I came to do. I fulfilled my purpose. And so John had to make that statement to get the brother right. I must decrease. And Jesus must, M-U-S-T, underline, must increase in my life. Amen. Nicodemus, come here. Ruler of the Jews and a Pharisee. Jesus was talking to him, explaining to him what he needed to do. And Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And he ain't asking us. It ain't a suggestion. But when we're in Christ, when we're in the body of Christ, when we come to Christ, when we receive him as our Savior, he tells us that we must be born again, of the Spirit and of the water. The Spirit and the Word, it goes hand in hand. You must be born again. This is the business of the Father. This is the business of the Father. We must be born again. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. That's my subject for today, right? It comes from Luke 2 and 49. Jesus made that statement too. Of course, he made it first. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And his business is to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty that them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I must be about my Father's business. Everything that I just quoted, that's part of what we are to do as well. I must be about my Father's business. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down from that sycamore tree. Come on down. I see you. Get out of that sycamore tree. Today, not tomorrow. Today, right now. I must. Say, I must. I must. I must. Abide at your house. Today, the Lord wants to abide at your houses. At all of your houses, my house, everybody in here. He wants to rule and reign in our houses, our temple. Amen. For this day is salvation. Come to this house. That house and this house. salvation has come today. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, 5, 9, and 10. In case you want to research. Say with me, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. That's an imperative call, not a choice. Amen. John 9 and 4, Jesus also said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For when night comes, no man can work. Now my nighttime might be when I make my transition. I can no longer work. Amen. My nighttime be when I didn't get feet old and feeble. I don't know. I cannot work. I can't. God forbid. I cannot work. Amen. I don't know what your nighttime might be, but when you're young, you're vital, you got strength, you're not struggling to get out the bed, you're not. You're not struggling to take a shower. Y'all know what I'm talking about. For our older people, older generation, young people, they can hop out the bed, hop in the shower, put on their clothes, eat their food. I'm taking my time. Hallelujah. How glory to God. But Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. While it is day. While it's day. Take advantage of the day. Take advantage of your strength, your youth, your ability, your gift, your talents. Take advantage of it for the glory of God. Because one day, night, is going to come. And it's going to be all over. Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. Luke 4, 43. I must preach the kingdom of God. Therefore am I sent. I must teach. Therefore am I sent. I must pray, therefore am I sent. I must go do foreign mission, therefore am I sent. I must love one another, for therefore am I sent. I must do the will of the Father, therefore am I sent. I must pray and intercede, therefore am I sent. What has God sent you to do? What has he sent you to do? He's not concerned about how old or how young you are. For Paul told Timothy, don't worry about your age. Don't let them upset you because you're a young man. And I'm paraphrasing. God deals with all people, as my pastor said. All ethnicity, lost my thought, but nevertheless, that's why I got to work while I'm day. You young people, you'll find out. Just keep living. Ooh, praise God. Anywho. Jesus said, where did that go to? Oh, I must preach. See what I tell you? A senior moment. I must preach the kingdom of God. Whatever gift the Lord has given to you, use it for his glory. If he called you to serve, serve joyfully. If he called you to be a giver, give abundantly, abundantly. If he called you as an intercessor, intercede. In fact, Rosie, many of you met Rosie, my girlfriend. She called me yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It might have been Friday. She called me on the phone. She got relatives that live in Louisiana. And one of the girls is 19. She has two kids and one on the way. She has thyroid problem, and she's constantly throwing up. I don't know these people from Adam's House Cat. But she called me on the phone, and she's telling me about her situation and would I pray. And I said, yes. So we hooked up three-way on the phone. And I began to pray for not only her, but the entire family. And I could hear the family sobbing in the back because I knew God had moved in the situation. But my point is, if God has given you the spirit or the gift to intercede, whether they're in another state, whether they're in your community, in your church, in your peer group, and they need prayer, don't wait. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. No. Pray for them now. We don't know what's going to happen when they leave your sight. Talking about, I'll pray for you. No, throw that out of your mindset and begin to pray now. Because now is the time. They soul may be hanging in the balance. And so we can't procrastinate. We have to pray and intercede now. My subject for today is what? I see y'all listening. Amen. Now, Jesus said, I must needs, with an S, go through Samaria. I must go through Samaria. I can't hold them up. I can't wait. I got to do this now. Right now, now is the time. I got to go through Samaria. Maybe the Lord is talking to you all and say, you might live in the suburbs, but the Lord may be saying, I want you to go through Detroit. I want you to go through Highland Park. I want you to go into this drug den. Okay? I want you to go on Skid Row. I want you to go in Cass Corridor. I want you to go where there's drunks and alcoholics. I want you to go. I want you to go, and I don't want you to hold them up. In our Christian church, if you say we're going into a drug den, ain't nobody going to be standing but you. 9 out of 10, you're going to be by yourself. If the Lord say, I want you to go into the deep east side and you look for all these saints to come with you so that we can go and pray and intercede and deliver and lay our hands on the sick, more than likely you're going to be by yourself because the Christian church has ceased to be the church what God would have it to be. Now, Jesus went to Samaria. There's a woman that will meet him at Jacob's well, who is not aware that her life is about to change. She's oblivious. Did I pronounce that right? But did I pronounce that right? Oblivious. She's not even aware. Dumbfounded. She's thinking this is an ordinary day. I'm going to get my water and I'm going to go back home to my boyfriend. Right? My God. But when Jesus comes into our lives, there should be a drastic change. Drastic change. Now, this woman is known as a Samaritan with no name. No name except the woman at the well. How would you like to be called the woman at the well? That's not the name your parents gave you. It's enough that these young folks call each other out their names. Not just young, but the older ones too. Okay? They call Biash and all that kind of stuff, right? But tell them that is not your given name. And then they want to say, what's your horoscope? Mine's at a cross. What's yours? Hi. My God. Anyway, the woman with no name had five husbands and is now living with a man. Jesus told all of that. She is always painted and portrayed as damaged goods. Always. She's portrayed as an outcast, a nobody, a good for nothing, someone to look down upon, and a sinner. No wonder she went by night, because she didn't want to hear all that. So she went to get her water by night so she can have a little peace of mind. That's me interjecting. That ain't in scripture. But the Bible said Jesus is a friend of sinners and the outcasts. Friend of sinners and the outcasts. He had to be a friend of sinner or I wouldn't be up here. Ha! I'm a prime example. Oh, now he calls me his friend. The Samaritan woman was an astute and intelligent woman. Irregardless of her lifestyle, her past, or whatever, this woman was smart. She was intelligent. She asked Jesus some good questions. Should we worship in this mountain or worship in Jerusalem? She has a good question. She had a dialogue with Jesus. Are you all having a dialogue with Jesus? Are you having a dialogue? Is it just a one-way conversation? We're doing all the talking and not listening? Is it a one-way dialogue, or are we communicating back and forth? I'm hearing from him, and I know he hears me. Amen. He wants a relationship with his children because he loves us unconditionally. In spite of our flaws, in spite of our weakness, God loves us unconditionally. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. If we fall down, we can get back up, and he won't condemn you. What a blessing. During biblical times, only men could divorce women. During biblical times. So we paint this woman as an adulteress and a divorcer. She was doing all the divorcing. But only men at the time could divorce their wives. If I'm wrong, Pastor, you can speak now and forever hold your peace. divorce their wives. Perhaps the Samaritan living, she's living in a poverty lifestyle. She was poor because wealthy woman had servants to go draw water. So evidently she was poor because she had to go and fetch her own water. Amen? So she was in a state of poverty and a lack of means. And sometimes as women, when we find ourselves in these positions, we're looking for a way out. We're looking to get married. And we really don't do any research about the man. We don't look in his background. We don't look in relation to his parents and his dad, his grandparents, because all that is in that person. All of it. So when we are in lack, when we're struggling financially, don't look for a way out in another person or in a man, but look to Jesus. Look to Jesus because he said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Look to Jesus because he said he'll supply all of your needs. Look to Jesus for your provision. Because he says, I am Jehovah Jireh, and I will provide. That's whom we ought to look to. Amen. But after having met Jesus, he gave her eternal life, that living water. And I believe, it's Carolyn talking, she had a must experience. She had a must experience. Because she immediately, she didn't waste no time. She immediately heard the call. She answered the call. She immediately began to share her faith. How many of us heard the call, but is sitting on the call? As history will have it, this woman was given the name Fotini. Remember, she had no name, but she was given the name Fotini. Mother of evangelists, who brought so many to the Christian faith that she was equal, as they say, to an apostle. And because of her faith, Emperor Nero had her tortured and thrown down a dry well. I might lose my life, but I must be about my Father's business. I might be persecuted for his name's sake, but I must be about my Father's business. Today, I'm asking you, what is your must? What's your must? Maybe today you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps your must today is, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you in a backslidden condition? Your must is to be restored back to the body of Christ. So therefore, if you're here today, and we have intercessors on site, and so if you're here today, and you've listened to these three calls, and they have touched you in your spirit, touched your heart, come forward. If you're here today, if you just want prayer, come forward. Any kind of prayer. If you need prayer, come forward. Quickly come forward. Quickly come forward. We have intercessors that are standing by. Hi, precious. You're so precious. God bless. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask the intercessors to come forward. Oh, you thought you was getting away, didn't you? Not today. Ah, amen. I want you to come forward, lay your hands on them, and pray. Meet them where they are, and pray for our people. Amen. Mary, you coming up for prayer, or you coming up to pray? Amen. She's coming up to pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray in your heavenly language. Those in the congregation begin to intercede in the spiritual realm because the Holy Spirit knows what you're saying. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to pray in your spirit, heavenly language, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sheke nama. Heke na 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 ma shande. Yika na. Sheke na 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 ma shande. Glory to God. Eke na 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 ma shande. Hallelujah. Ikana. Hika na 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 ma shande. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Meet their needs, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring deliverance, Lord. Fill with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Hallelujah. Strengthen today. Encourage today. Build up today. Hallelujah today. Answer prayers today. Hallelujah today. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Hallelujah today. Don't let them leave. Hallelujah. The same way they came. Hallelujah today. Bless their homes. Bless their families. Bless their children. Hallelujah today. Bless children today. Bless husbands today. Bless wives today. Hallelujah today. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless you. We extol you. We honor you. We reverence you. We magnify you. Hallelujah today. We decrease. Hallelujah. That you may increase. Hallelujah today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah today. Hallelujah today. Cause your word to settle in their spirit. Cause your word to settle in their thoughts. Cause your word to manifest in them in the name of Jesus today. Glory to God. We bless you and we honor you. It is Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, glory to God.